Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Zoom goes the Z-Man with his 29th home run of the year.
Ryan Zimmerman's next bolt will be his 30th.
How about
that? Homer, as heard on 106.7 The Fan last night, made the Nats a winner. Zim, 29 jacks. Only once in his career has he ever hit more than that. 33 back in 2009. He's now got 86 RBI. He's driven in more than that just twice since 2006 and not since 2012. That was as massive a swing as Zimmerman's delivered over the last few weeks. 1-1 game, top of the eighth inning on the road, nothing doing offensively, just couldn't really get anything going. As a lineup, they had 4 total hits last night.
They had no hits after the third inning until Zimmerman's bolt in the eighth.
He hits that home run, his 29th, as you heard Charlie say, and it makes them a 2-1 winner. Some of the other key storylines, the big one today here at 1, the Nats winning again despite all their injuries. Edwin Jackson was superb. 7 innings and 1 run for the veteran starter. 4 strikeouts and 1 walk. Let's talk Jackson for a second. Where is this coming from? For people not familiar with what's gone on with him the last couple years, he pitched 3 times earlier this year for the Orioles and in 5 innings was a disaster. And a team starved for pitching said no thanks. So the Nats claimed him, threw him in the minor leagues. He pitched well at AAA. He's gotten a chance now to make 6 starts at the big league level, and he's 4-2 in 37 innings with a 2.92 ERA.
He was the guy over the last couple seasons. So in 2016, he pitched for both Miami, pitched for San Diego, was in Atlanta, Chicago in 2015. He was the guy that you go, well, we need to fill out our rotation and none of our kids are ready to go 200 innings yet. We'll just call Edwin Jackson, ready on alert 5. Just someone to pitch to a 6 ERA for us. His last full season, the team he spent the most time with last year, the San Diego Padres, had 13 starts for them to a 5.9 ERA. In 73 innings, he was not only below league average, he was flat out bad in a pitcher's ballpark. And he was with Baltimore, who you alluded to, as you guys know. Grant knows the Orioles incredibly well. There has never been a team more starved for starting pitching, almost on an annual basis, than the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
They're willing to give him a shot, and they said no thank you.
Very quickly, by the way. He has pitched 5, actually made 6 starts, as I mentioned, in Washington. But in his last 5, 4 of them have been really good. I mean, he has now gone 7 innings 3 times and 6 innings 4 times in these 6 starts.
It's absurd.
When they brought him in, as you said, it was basically a scenario where they said, please go 5 innings at a time and save our bullpen. That was kind of the goal. They had no thought that he was going to do what he did last night. I don't care how bad of an offense the Padres are. They're terrible. 7 innings, 1 run. 1 walk. Only 8 hits that he scattered, mostly singles. The start before that, against San Francisco. Still a bad offensive team, but better than San Diego. 6 innings, 1 run. You go back to that outing against Colorado. By the way, that is an outstanding offensive team.
Yeah, they're terrific.
The opposite of these last 2 he pitched against. 4 hits, 1 run, 7 innings. That's a gem against the Rockies. That's probably happened to them 10 or 11 times all season, or lower, I guarantee. He went out and did that in his 3rd start with the Nationals. The first time he pitched, remember, he gave up 3 hits and 2 earnings. Those were on solo homers, both of them. He basically gave up 1 hit that wasn't one of those solo homers in 7 innings. It's hard to describe how much better he's been than what the Nationals could have anticipated, who have now caught the Astros, as Pete said earlier today in his update in the loss column, for the 2nd-best record in baseball. But I think we have something here, Danny, and we say this about the great teams in other sports, and we don't talk enough about this because we are spoiled right now with this Nationals organization, with how beautifully run they are, where the culture allows guys to be the best versions of themselves. The Redskins don't have that. The Wizards have never really had that. They're getting there because John Wall makes everyone better, which is the ultimate compliment you can pay to a guy that got paid for a reason this offseason. The Capitals have been very good for a while and are the closest thing we've had to this. But the Nats do things that just work out. You see it with the Caps a little bit. Like, yeah, we'll trade for TJ Oshie. He'll have a career a couple of years.
Yeah.
And we'll bring in Troy Brouwer. He'll be better here than he's going to be when he leaves and goes back to St. Louis or wherever it is. He'll end up ultimately. The Nats do this better than anyone in town. These guys that they bring in, these reclamation projects, if you will, where all of a sudden people say, I always knew he had that in him, but it just wasn't the right situation for him. Well, normally, we're the team they're at where it's not the right situation.
Yeah, St. Louis had this for years where a guy that was once hyped and then was forgotten about would become an ace pitcher for them. That they did that a number of times over. Dave Duncan was a miracle worker. So you go, okay, well, it's just on the pitching side. It's Mike Maddux. How about Adam Lind? Signed 6 minutes before spring training started. Small adjustment from Rick Shue. Now he's pelting out line drives all over the place and is a devastating offensive weapon. Now, he fields... well, not terribly well. His outfield routes are like Magellan looking for the new world. Long and short, though, the guy can rake. And he has been a godsend for them. It's really
getting
is incredible. 304
on the season.
Really is incredible. And great at bat after great at bat after great at bat. The years that the Nationals have won the division, you're looking at now, I believe, what will this be, the fifth time here in the last 7 years, if it goes right?
Yeah, 12. Then obviously in it was even years, so basically, the year against San Francisco was 2016. Last year, 2017. First time they'd been there back-to-back years. And then before that, you got to go St. Louis. They lost in the division series. So, yeah.
So, the years that it's happened, they've always had injuries. Major League Baseball teams have injuries. This just in. Guys miss significant time, especially guys in the Nationals. You've had off-injured players like Ryan Zimmerman, Jason Worth, and company. In 2012, it was guys like Tyler Moore and Chad Tracy. It's been these... dudes punching above their weight class a little bit. That doesn't always happen with teams that have designs of competing, but if we lose this one linchpin, what's going to happen to us? They have found a way to compete this year. Again, their center field position occupied by Michael A. Taylor, not the plan. They went out and traded away a ton of assets to get someone to not have Michael A. Taylor play center field. But then here we go, Michael A. Taylor, you're our center fielder. Now you're banged up. Brian Goodwin is now your center fielder. Now he's even banged up. They're on center fielder number 6 or whatever in the organization.
Well, they're back to Taylor, actually.
They're back to Taylor. But that combined spot is basically, as I said, a 260 hitter with 25 homers. Remarkable. Remarkable that that's what they're able to produce.
Organizational depth. I mean, if you're divvying up a pie here, you got to give the players, obviously, an immense amount of credit. A guy like Ryan Zimmerman, when everyone was leaving him for dead in his career as an impact middle-of-the-order bat, has reverted back to being a real slugger and someone who was vital on a championship team. Daniel Murphy, a year after hitting 340, is hitting 326 again. Anthony Rendon has found a way, despite not getting a lot of protection, hitting down at 6 in the order, to have an awesome season where
career
he's hitting
year.
Over 300 and has an OPS over 960. Bryce Harper's out right now, but was on pace for an MVP year for a second time in 3 years. So you give the team, the players, credit. You give Dusty Baker credit, because I think he does a great job keeping his bench fresh so
that's
that when guys
at.
Get plugged in, they are ready to go. He does a great job in the clubhouse, manicuring relationships and making sure he's got a good rapport and great communicator with his players. He's done a good job. But really, the reason that this team is as good as they are, it's the roster that Mike Rizzo built. It doesn't matter who manages this team. Maybe they're not 72-47 if it's not Dusty and it's someone else, but they're 68-51. I mean, this is a damn good baseball club that Dusty Baker has. There's a reason why Matt Williams, the year before he got fired, won 96 games and the manager of the year in the National League. There's a reason why Davey Johnson, at 213 years old or whatever he was when he was here last, now an advisor to Mike Rizzo in the front office, won 98 games with the Nationals in 2012. It's because Mike Rizzo builds winners. It's because he inherited something that was bad, and he hands managers who inherit then a first division, if I don't screw this up, we're going to win the division kind of roster. And that's what's fun as a Nats fan, is you kind of know that going into these years. One other note on last night really quickly, the big one today, again at 1 o'clock, the Nationals winning a late-night game that many of you may have missed. Brandon Kinstler in the eighth inning, perfect with a strikeout, nice bounce back after he'd given up his first run as a National at home in a win against the Angels. Kinstler got his fourth hold since coming over. Remember, he had 28 saves in Minnesota earlier this year as their closer before he was traded. He's going to be pitching the eighth inning now because Ryan Madsen is on the disabled list. My guess is that they'll have Sean Kelly, for the most part, work the seventh, and they'll interchangeably use him and Kinstler in those two innings ahead of Sean Doolittle. Madsen did the DL. Craig Heist told us earlier today on the Blitz, not expected to be a lingering issue that goes deep into the regular year. Maybe could be back in a couple weeks. He was so good, he was nearly perfect. He was the best reliever on the team.
He was outstanding.
Post-trade, coming over from Oakland with Doolittle. But isn't it a beautiful thing for this bullpen? Now you get Kelly back. Coda Glover tweeted yesterday he's thinking he's going to be able to return now. Sammy Solis looked awesome last time he pitched. Suddenly you got a lot of depth to go with Kinsler in the eighth, Doolittle in the ninth, and you lose a guy like Madsen, who's a stud. And last night in a one-run game, you felt awesome about the eighth inning because Kinsler was going to come in and be a closing caliber arm.
I thought about just going to bed when Zimmerman's ball cleared the wall because I was pretty tired. I mean, I stayed up and watched the rest of it, but I felt good enough that that was a reasonable debate in my mind.
Could have done that a couple months ago.
No question about it. It would have been a goat rodeo on stilts inside of a tornado. The Madsen to the DL thing, we talked about this with Heist when he was on with us. I can't help but feel like I don't trust them that it's not that big a deal, because remember, it was a blister, then it's graduated to something else, and now it's a disabled list stint. I'm hoping it really is what they say, but how can we take them at face value?
Yeah, it's hard to.
It really is hard, because Madsen has been nothing short of electric.
You know what I always wonder, and this is more a rhetorical question no one can answer. We focus so much on the local teams that I wonder if it's like this in other places. In other words, with other baseball organizations where you pay as close an amount of attention as we do, are there this many circumstances where the original injury is not what the actual injury was? My hunch would be no, because I feel like that's something we would know on a national level. I mean, hosting shows nationally on MLB Network Radio, I follow baseball pretty closely. I don't think this happens that often. Jason Wirth didn't break anything. Oh, wait, weeks later, yes, he did. Sean, it was Doolittle's buddy, Ryan Madsen, has this problem with his finger. It's just a blister. Oh, wait, no, it isn't. I feel like this happens all the time.
Jason Worth was supposed to play the weekend after the All-Star game. Remember, that's what we were told. That was from the team.
I forgot that.
He was going to not play the first series, but probably the second or third series after the All-Star game. He'll be right back in the lineup. He's down in West Palm Beach hoping
he
can run.
How did he look that weekend when he came back?
No, he didn't. Well, he was around the guys. He was on the phone with Scott Boras a couple times, apparently. Just like,
yeah, Boras told us that.
He helps replays and
if
stuff.
If you missed Scott Boras on our show, he was pretty funny and really good. GrantandDanny.com/audio is where you can find that interview. 1:30, we got trivia questions you can answer for the right to come hang out with me, Danny, and Kirk Cousins on Sunday at DC Lottery Live right here at our studios on 1015 Half Street. Next. The Buffalo Bills? Do we know who their starting quarterback is?
I thought we did, but maybe we don't.
What about the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Same thing, same boat.
How about the Baltimore Ravens? What happens if Joe Flacco can't go in week one? What are they going
to
do?
I have no idea, because Mallett ain't the answer to that question.
Grant and Danny on the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.